check in every Thursday night for the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show.
Studio A, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at the number one listener-supported radio station, Revolution Radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started? Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rick, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
All right. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome to Cabal Empire Exposed with your host, Joaquin Hodopian. I got out two articles this week, which isn't bad. And I'm just going to jump right in. First one, entitled, While the Burning Man Sideshow Misdirects, the World Turns, Spurns, and Burns. Over the last weekend, the week-long Burning Man Art and Music Festival organizers, along with local police, opted to close the only road in and out of the Nevada desert, 110 miles north of Reno, known as, quote, Black Rock City. Coincidental that it shares same namesake as world's wealthiest investment firm, BlackRock, whose stakeholders are the Earth's bloodline-controlling dynasties, Rothschild Rockefeller royal families et al. This unique, quote, New Age Festival attracts amazing art installments, as they are called, created and self-assembled by many of the festival goers themselves, many from Silicon Valley, where else? At night, it's a celebration of lights with many art exhibits themselves ritualistically going up in flames on a nightly basis. In response to the site flooding, creating an ongoing disaster from heavy downpours, the authorities on Sunday, September 3rd, ordered the 73,000 stranded festival goers to conserve their food and water while sheltering in place until further notice. Nobody gets to come in, and nobody goes out, not by car nor by plane. Hunker down in place was the order by police and organizers after they closed the road. On top of that, no usable porta potties, no generators get topped off, no vehicles on the playa. Remain in your tents as you slip slide away, stuck in the mud. The long holiday weekend just got a lot longer. Compliments of Hurricane Hillary's remnant wrath on the arid Nevada basin. Pouring torrential rains with more rainfall forecasted till last Monday, September 4th, Labor Day, when the event is scheduled to close. But will the tens of thousands of trapped Burning Man residents be allowed to escape their muddy hellhole? Well, they did. They did manage to get out eventually, Monday, Tuesday. This annual New Age festival begun in San Francisco with bonfires in 1986 at the beach moved to the Black Rock Desert of Nevada in the 1990s, traditionally known for the Burning Man effigy that CNN describes as, quote, a desert temple to whatever deity or ideals you hold true. But this year, attendees arriving on August 27th got more than they bargained for after setting ablaze on Thursday, August 31st, their 26-foot-tall, 13-foot-wide column that burned for more than 20 minutes before revealing a secret monument within, a giant steel phoenix representing the resilience of war-torn Ukraine. With the unjustified U.S.-NATO proxy war already lost in Ukraine at an unforgivable cost of Ukrainian lives, Phoenix was another bad omen. This leftist, artsy-fartsy, stand-up-for-Ukraine crowd that is alleged to worship pagan deities was to feature the burning of its main attraction this year on Saturday night. But the infamous Chapel of Babel, inspired from ancient Babylon, was rained out. Starting last Friday, not on the night on the first to Saturday morning on September 2nd, within the overnight hours, the entire Black Rock City was pummeled with a near inch of pounding rain, turning Black Rock City into a Black Rock Sea of Mud. The 0.8 of an inch that fell overnight on Saturday amounted to what normally falls in a 2 to 3 month period during the winter months. The deluge postponed the Saturday night Chapel Babel bonfire, as well as Sunday's Burning Man effigy, closing out the long weekend festival. On Sunday, September 3rd, despite the shelter-in-place directive, a number of event-goers left by foot, as well as in vehicles, but a number of the RVs got stuck in the ankle-deep mud. With a little over 70,000 remaining in place, the Burning Man organizers plan to conduct the Burning Man effigy Sunday night, but met with more rainy weather on Sunday and sunshine expected on Monday, it was rescheduled a second time for Monday night. Meanwhile, the departure of cooped-up Burning Man participants, referred to as the Exodus, as the big challenge that lay ahead. Organizers scheduled shuttle buses to help people leave the area, starting on late Sunday and into Monday, with many attendees needing to return to work this week. Organizers assessed whether the road condition was dry enough to reopen. With Monday, the first dry, sunny day in quite a while, the Exodus officially began after 2 p.m. local time on Labor Day Monday. Thousands of wary burners, as they're called, labored to finally leave all at once. Organizers tried discouraging so many in a vain attempt to stagger departure to avoid the bottleneck exit, but to no avail. Many of the 64,000 people left on Labor Day at Black Rock City will stick around one more day to take in the final Burning Man effigy blaze rescheduled for Monday night. By early Saturday morning, September 2nd, all further Burning Man events had to be temporarily called off, delaying the Babylon's big burn of the week. Observing all this, there are many who may be asking, might this year's unprecedented deluge by God's wrath in response to this ever gaudier hedonistic decadent display of Western wokeism, overtly rejecting conservatives' traditional values and religions like Christianity? Under the normal hot weather of 100-degree heat in the Burning Man, woman, non-binary, inclusionary world, the skimpier the outfit at Burning Man Festival, the better. In their radical anything-goes world, nudity at Burning Man is a welcome sight, even in front of children. From the Guardian article of August 28th, quote, in recent years, Burning Man has drifted from its hippie roots and become better known for luxury RVs, wild orgies, and Silicon Valley brothers. On the conservative-leaning Seventh-day Adventist blog site, Advent Messenger, a half dozen years ago, Andy Roman took aim indicting Burning Man in an August 27, 2017 article entitled, quote, the largest ball worship service on the planet is in America. An eye-opening excerpt, quote, our nation has embraced the old ancient paganism that we read about in the Bible. Over 70,000 people are expected to flock each year to Nevada's Black Rock Desert for an 8-day festival of hedonism and spiritualism that begins today and runs through Labor Day weekend. The all-night dance parties include invoking on the pagan deities, nudity, unrestrained sex, and drug use, while during the day, partygoers are treated to, quote, artistic displays and, quote, spiritualistic exercises, which include worshiping pagan gods. Every mainstream media is covering this event, but they are reporting it simply as, quote, arts and music festival. What they don't tell you is that the biggest draw for the partygoers is the free casual sex that is absolutely rampant at the Burning Man Festival. And it isn't just one-on-one sex that we are talking about. They actually have an orgy tent or temple that is always open. This is what is on full display in America. Every manner of perversion is glorified. Unquote. On a Sunday night episode of The Alex Jones InfoWars Show, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene stated, quote, the stranded people are basically probably being brainwashed that climate change is the cause of all of it, and it's going to destroy the earth, unquote. In response to Jones' claim that they, quote, did a mock sacrifice, and then, quote, it flooded with these tornadoes, Marjorie Taylor Greene stated, God has a way of making sure everyone knows who God is. I'll say that about that. In so many words, firebrand Georgia Republican Congresswoman Greene came out and said the desert flooding was an act of God. The flashy, flaunted gathering of narcissistic, largely affluent 21st century hippies living religiously and fanatically by Burning Man rules of radical inclusion and radical self-expression ensure that they take time out yearly for pagan worship of the burning of the Babylonian deity-inspired replicas at Black Rock City. But this year, when God tested them on their Burning Man rule of radical self-reliance, not all passed the test. Another of this year's main structures, completed on August 24th to go up in flames, is the Temple of the Heart. 2023's Burning Man event, entitled Animalia, boasts on its website, quote, "Burning Man is not a festival. It is a community and a global cultural movement, with local communities and events flourishing all over the world. Burning Man culture emanated from Black Rock City and has spread to every continent." Yep, they have their Black Rock festivals on nearly every single continent on the earth. "Our ephemeral city in the Black Rock Desert is an annual experiment in temporary community, guided by radical self-expression, radical self-reliance, not so much this year, though, and the rest of the core 10 principles of our culture. In Black Rock City, you are responsible for your own survival, safety, and well-being." Unquote. This year's event got off to an ominous start when headlines disclosed that climate change activists obstructed vehicles on the road, with protesters chained to a 28-foot trailer near the Burning Man Festival entrance, until law enforcement made arrests to physically break through the roadblock. Again, from the Guardian article, quote, "Approximately 80,000 people make an annual pilgrimage to the beloved back channel, many hauling trailers and RVs across miles of scorching desert in order to make it their fabled Gomorrah." Unquote. The Gomorrah partiers barely got partying this year before a Labor Day weekend storm blew in to soak the desert dance party floor with a hard rain that rarely, if ever, takes place during summer months, within hours turning the normally jubilant makeshift festival city into an unhealthy open mud pit, complete with rumors flying of a deadly Ebola outbreak and declared national emergency. But medical warnings of potential hypothermia, stomach bugs, and foodborne illness were real at the festival this year, in addition to a confirmed report of one person dead and not so, quote, "radically self-reliant" attendees short on food, growing hungrier by the day, with reported petty thievery, art vandalism, one witness describing a foreboding sense of, quote, "Lord of the Flies chaos and dread" spread amongst the crowd. Under the mounting stress and strain, trapped amidst rapidly deteriorating, unhealthy conditions with no escape due to the authorities' road closure, free frolicking festival attendees have been forced into sobering survival mode. And as of Saturday, September 2nd, scheduled activities at the festival had to be shut down. This current bread and circus distraction, well, it's not so current, it was last weekend, bread and circus distraction unraveling in northwestern Nevada comes fresh off the heels of America's deadliest burning, disintegrating fire in modern history, resulting in widening public exposure of the most unnatural directed energy weapon-caused tragedy yet on the Hawaiian island of Maui, allegedly implicated to have premeditatedly murdered over 1,000 residents, the majority being children. With the World Economic Forum's 2018 announcement that Hawaii is slated as the first state to run entirely on clean energy, and the World Economic Forum groom governor Josh Green, the first to eagerly impose his elite master's all-green agenda, When Maui property owners refused to sell their sacred land in the historic town of Lahaina, they were targeted and incinerated alive by satellite-launched scalar weaponry, blood sacrificed in a diabolical land grab. Controlling BlackRock stakeholders are now on record, owning and controlling virtually everything of most value on this earth through bribery and blackmail of their installed puppet governments and with fake pandemic bioweapon death jabs and laser microwave fire bursts. They're willfully committing mass human genocide on a planet-wide scale. Now the BlackRock Corporation has been caught in fascist government collusion by elite design, moving forward, executing its now exposed scheme to turn Lahaina dead victims' properties into America's first smart city model. Thus far, this latest deadly event in Nevada will dwarf Maui's tragic fate by a thousand. But the stage sideshow in the desert looms potentially as the next engineered calamity by the same brazen controllers in league with fascist government overreach, callously closing the only escape route out of Black Rock Desert, reminiscent of the trapped helpless Lahaina victims a few weeks earlier. Meanwhile, the media jumps on the Burning Man sideshow story of comedian Chris Rock and his DJ pal Diplo managing to hike 5 miles out to luckily get picked up by a passing fan in a pickup truck to escape Black Rock City. It all reads as more mainstream choreographed wag the dog stage theatrics, while Rome busily burns all over the world all summer long with 95% of humanity in its crosshairs, presented as yet more sleight of hand, camouflage lies pushing the false climate change mantra to cover up the depopulation agenda of global economic collapse and World War III Armageddon. Burning Man is but a mere sideshow psyops while humanity burns alive. End of article. Okay, I wrote another article this week, and I call it Armenian Genocide 2.0, One Step Closer with Armenia-U.S. Joint Military Exercise on 9/11. In an interview with Italian newspaper La Repubblica, published on Sunday, September 3rd, Armenia's Prime Minister, Nikol Pashinyan, made the following statements. Quote, Armenia's security architecture was 99.999% linked to Russia, including when it came to the procurement of arms and ammunition. But today we see that Russia itself is in need of weapons, arms, and ammunition for the war in Ukraine. And in this situation, it's understandable that even if it wishes so, the Russian Federation cannot meet Armenia's security needs. This example should demonstrate to us that dependence on just one partner in security matters is a strategic mistake. Unquote. In view of the fact that Russia has a mutual defense contract with Armenia, a Russian military post inside the Republic of Armenia, and a Russian peacekeeping force stationed at the border between Azerbaijan and the landlocked contested breakaway region of Nagorno-Karabakh, Artsakh to Armenians who've lived there since ancient times, Putin has ignored the fact that Azerbaijan's blockade is causing Armenians in Artsakh to literally starve to death. Ignoring the worsening, blatant humanitarian crisis with families down to rationing a piece of bread all day. Letting thousands of Armenians starve is hardly honoring Moscow's defense pact with Armenia. It's clear, sobering reality, that Russia has elected to abandon its security commitment with the Republic of Armenia, allowing the three-mile Lachin corridor separating Artsakh from Armenia as its only pathway connection to the outside world, remain closed now, approaching a full year since December 12, 2022. 90% of Artsakh's food supply arrived from Armenia through the crucial corridor. Pashinyan stated that with Russia waging war in Ukraine for more than a year and a half, he concludes that Moscow is unable to fulfill its obligations to Armenia or deems Armenia not pro-Russian enough, and that the Kremlin no longer views its involvement in the South Caucasus region as a high enough priority to intervene on behalf of the Armenians in Artsakh. In response, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov insists, quote, "Russia is an absolutely integral part of this region. Russia plays a consistent, very important role in stabilizing the situation in this region. And we will continue to play this role. Russia is an integral part of this region." Well, you could have fooled me, allowing, 120,000 Armenians in Artsakh die of starvation? And you have soldiers there watching it? No, I don't think you're honoring your defense pact with Armenia, nor I don't think that you're stabilizing the situation in the region. You have not been consistent, and you're not an integral part of this region anymore because of your inactivity, passivity, allowing starvation on a mass scale to happen. Get it, Dmitry Peskov? On Tuesday, September 5th, the always saucy Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman, Maria Zakharova, was far more bluntly critical of Pashinyan, claiming his comments were, quote, "public rhetoric verging on rudeness," adding that rather than blaming others, Yerevan, which is the capital of the Republic of Armenia, should take responsibility for its own actions. A lot of gall Maria Zakharova has. In the face of continued Azerbaijani aggression in recent years, the Yerevan government, as a member of the Collective Security Treaty Organization, CSTO, also urgently requested support from fellow CSTO members, Russia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan. But that too fell on deaf ears. So running out of options, Prime Minister Pashinyan decided to increase Armenia's ties with the West. And as a result, from September 11th to the 20th this year, now just a few days away, Armenia will participate in joint military exercises with the United States. Though this may be understandable, it's very likely yet another decisive error in judgment, since relying on Washington for much of anything these days, much less for national security, invites deep trouble. Just look at what's happening to Ukraine's national security ever since 2014, when the U.S. illegally overthrew its democratically elected leader and installed a neo-Nazi government in Kiev. In a statement on Wednesday, September 6th, Armenian Defense Ministry announced the joint military drills with the U.S., dubbed, quote, Eagle Partner 2023. To be conducted, quote, in the framework of preparation for participation in international peacekeeping missions, quote, unquote, opening the door to a potential Pandora's box with another Ukraine scenario for Armenia. Reuters reports that a U.S. military spokesman specified that Only 75 U.S. soldiers and 185 Armenian soldiers will take part in this rather small-scale 9-day operation. It's likely more symbolic than anything real, sending the obvious message to Putin that he needs to intervene in Artsakh before conditions grow worse. Dmitry Peskov's response to the announced military drill between Armenia and the United States, quote, "Of course, such news causes concern, especially in the current situation. Therefore, we will deeply analyze this news and monitor the situation," unquote. And, of course, the now U.S. Deputy Secretary of State, neocon Kiev regime changer herself, Victoria Nuland, has been salivating over creating the divisive wedge between Armenia and Russia for a full decade as yet one more pro-Western neighbor on Russia's doorstep falling on into the pocket of the anti-Russian West. This all could have and should have been avoided had President Vladimir Putin simply given the ethically responsive order for his, quote, peacekeepers to merely do their assigned job to ensure peace prevails by forcing the Lachin reopening, but allowing Baku to commit more genocide against more Armenians is definitely not keeping the peace, nor, for that matter, in anyone's best interest living in this treacherous world. If it wasn't such high stakes flirting with World War III right now, Armenia courting favor with Russia's chief rival is like a jealous schoolgirl flirting with another boy to make her boyfriend jealous. Getting back to today's dire stakes, by willfully refusing to permit food, fuel, and vital medical supplies be brought into Artsakh from Armenia, Azerbaijan is violating the Moscow-brokered truce after the Azeri-Armenian 44-day war in late 2020. But even more significant is that Baku is premeditatedly starving 120,000 Armenians and resuming the genocide where Turkey left off a century ago, this time perpetrated by Azerbaijan's Turkic brethren to the east of Armenia. The International Red Cross has a fleet of trucks sitting idly by the border for weeks now, loaded with vital emergency supplies, but unable to enter Artsakh, while Russian soldiers passively look on, allowing this international crime spectacle to go on unimpeded and unpunished, essentially rendering Russia an accomplice to the international crime of genocide. Even former prosecutor to the Hague's International Criminal Court, ICC, Luis Marino Ocampo, released an August 7th report entitled, quote, "Genocide Against Armenians in 2023, accusing Azerbaijan outright of legally meeting the definition of genocide and recommending the case be brought before the International Criminal Court. But all it prompted was an emergency UN Security Council meeting held 2 weeks later on August 21st, urgently calling for Azeri President Ilham Aliyev to lift the Lachin Corridor blockade and allow supplies through. It changed nothing, as dictator Aliyev correctly calculated that with the world in multiple energy crises right now and needing oil from his Caspian reserves more than ever, the rest of the world would meekly squawk, then look the other way. He was absolutely correct, as without any negative consequence backing up the feeble UN pleas, why would the Aliyev dictatorship even anticipate any unwanted consequence? If UN Security Council member Russia's peacekeeping force is looking the other way, refusing to intercede despite clear violation of the 2020 truce signed by Baku, Moscow, and Yerevan, then Aliyev remains smugly confident that starving a few Armenians in the territory Joseph Stalin gave to Azerbaijan a century ago, despite 96% of the residents at the time being Armenian living in their ancient homeland for millennia, that the world strongly still agrees technically and legally that it belongs to Azerbaijan, thanks to Joseph Stalin. Yet, this morally reprehensible 1923 decision by Stalin as perhaps the world's biggest genocidal murderer in history himself is still allowed to stand in a world that doesn't give a shit about 120,000 people whose lives are increasingly in grave danger now. A CNN article on Wednesday, September 6, revealed the plight of one Artsakh resident, Annie Kirakozyani, from the village of Hartur, who became pregnant a month after the blockade began. With food unavailable, she's been living off of tomatoes and beans from her garden. Public transportation in Artsakh was suspended on July 25th due to fuel shortages brought on by the corridor closure, resulting in Annie not able to receive medical care during her pregnancy. 6 months in, experiencing severe abdominal pain, landed her in the hospital. But the ambulance driver had to pick up six other patients along the way due to fuel rationing. Annie was told that her complications necessitated her giving birth 3 months premature. With her husband working with the military 100 miles away, again from lack of fuel, he could not be there with his wife when doctors told her she had a stillbirth resulting from malnutrition. By phone, Annie Kiriskazyani told CNN, "If not for the blockade, I would be playing with my child today." Unquote. The number of miscarriages in Artsakh have soared to four times the rate from the time last year. Azeri military refused to allow international media to enter the enclave since the blockade went into effect nearly 9 months ago. My August 17th article on this growing humanitarian crisis reported that 2 days earlier, on the 15th of August of last month, 40-year-old K. Hovhannisyan became the first starvation casualty dying from chronic malnutrition caused by what appears to be a second Armenian Genocide 2.0. Olesya Vartanyan, a senior South Caucasus analyst at the nonprofit conflict prevention organization Crisis Group, told Reuters that in recent days, social media footage indicates increasing Azeri military movement along the Armenia-Azerbaijan front line. Warning, quote, "It doesn't look good at all," unquote. Even more disturbing is a September 6th Twitter X post by journalist Liana Margardian depicting footage of an alleged convoy of Azeri troops in armored vehicles said to be approaching Sihanouk, reportedly inside the sovereign territory of the Republic of Armenia. A September 6th article from the Limited Times states, quote, "Since the beginning of September, large troop movements from Azerbaijan have been reported on the Armenian border. Authorities in Azerbaijan's Armenian-populated enclave Artsakh and Armenia's Defense Ministry on Tuesday released images of military and artillery equipment circulating in the Vyatsdzor, Garkhazanuk, and Sihanouk regions. So The world is watching genocide repeat itself, and Putin's Russia shamefully refuses to come to Armenia's aid and honor its security commitment. One can easily understand why Republic of Armenia's Prime Minister Pashinyan is stating it was Armenia's regretful strategic mistake to depend solely on Russia for its security. At the same time, it's a disgrace the world of nations just sits back, passively allowing Armenians to starve to death once again, a century after 1.5 million of Armenians perished from the last Armenian genocide. But that's the world we're living in today, folks, where the value of human life seemingly grows cheaper by the day. Elites are actively committing genocide, exterminating the entire human race, with few among us aware or even care, much less dare to fight back for our species' survival. With the devil's dominion, earthly affairs in 2023, perhaps more than ever, Satan still rules over our planet. Well, that is the second article I wrote this week. You can find my articles at jameshfetzer.org, thegovernmentrag.com, and intildrop.org. Okay, on to a few news items this week. As of July, 61% of U.S. respondents in a lending club poll reported that they are living paycheck to paycheck. Credit card debt stands at a record $1.03 trillion. Credit card delinquencies hit 7.2%, reflecting Americans' priority to meet rent and food demands over on-time credit card payments. Between rising inflation rates and rising interest rates, and the average for credit cards is now up to 20.6%, families are unable to meet all their obligations and responsibilities to even afford to pay for the roof over their head or food to feed their family. And it's only getting worse with each passing week. There's the financial Armageddon cliff, and then there's the World War III Armageddon cliff, and the elites orchestrating and pulling all the strings have ensured that when the global economy collapses, kinetic war against Russia and China will also be launched. It's called the Great Reset by its architects, King Charles III and his buddy, Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum. New news item. 3 weeks ago, even the mainstream media outlet NBC News released the statement, quote, North Korea's successful test launch on July 12th of a nuclear-capable intercontinental ballistic missile equipped to penetrate U.S. missile defenses is most likely the result of technical cooperation sourced to Russia. Unquote. Its source was the think tank Center for Strategic and International Studies, CSIS, that showed strong evidence of the strikingly similar missiles between the Russian Topol-M ICBM and Kim Jong-un's Huang-18 ICBM in both physical dimensions as well as flight trajectory data. This latest July-launched missile test is a departure from all of North Korea's past liquid-fueled ICBMs in favor of the solid-fueled ICBM like Russia's this time around. Plus, Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu's July visit to the North Korea for the 70th anniversary of the Korean War armistice and his one-to-one meeting with Kim Jong-un, ostensibly to strengthen strategic mutual ties between Russia and North Korea, all but indicate that Vladimir Putin provided his North Korean counterpart the technological capability of penetrating targeted U.S. cities with hypersonic ICBMs able to avoid U.S. missile defense. So now we have North Korea that can bomb with nuclear power American cities. Russia provided North Korea with the nuclear means to take out America only because of the U.S. NATO's longtime Cold War policy, demonizing Russia and China as the designated enemy in its relentless objective to aggressively encircle each of them in Russia, surrounded by hostile neighbors, all pointing U.S.-made nukes straight at all of Russia's cities. It's the reason for the 2014 U.S. illegal coup in Ukraine, as well as today's proxy war against Russia in Ukraine. Since becoming Russia's leader in 2000, Putin has attempted to live peaceably with the West, but the bloodline oligarchs controlling Washington, D.C. and Brussels as EU and NATO headquarters have categorically rejected his every effort, choosing instead to maintain a nonstop provocation policy, forcibly causing Putin to protect Russia's national security under constant duress and existential threat from the West. Ever since its 1990 lie, quote, "Not one inch eastward will NATO go." The current madness potentially driving humanity to total self-annihilation via nuclear war against Russia and China and North Korea and Iran as well is not the fault of the Eastern powers, Russia and China, but the puppet masters pulling the geopolitical, economic, military strings of the West, i.e., the usual suspects, the Rothschild, Rockefellers, Europe's royal families, etc. As I've written extensively in the past, the bloodline controllers made the decision a long time ago to destroy Western civilization, and today we are witnessing its crumble into history's dustbin in real time, all by malevolent, satanic design. To demonstrate how U.S. puts words in the mouth of foreign nations in its Cold War hostilities against the multipolar leaders Russia and China, during the last week of August, Indonesia's defense minister, Prabowo Subianto, met in D.C. with his U.S. counterpart, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin III, who I supervised at West Point as his assistant squad leader. Lloyd, the liar, issued a U.S.-Indonesia joint press statement dated August 25th that apparently was deceptively misleading. Quote, "They," Austin and Prabowo, "shared the view that the People's Republic of China, PRC, expansive maritime claims in the South China Sea are inconsistent with international law as reflected in the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea. Secretary Austin and Minister Prabowo jointly condemned violations of national sovereignty, i.e., the aggression by the Russian Federation against Ukraine, and demands its complete and unconditional withdrawal from the territory of Ukraine," unquote. On Thursday, August 31st, Indonesian Defense Minister Prabowo from Indonesia took issue with Austin's so-called joint statement. Quote, this is Prabowo speaking. "There is no joint statement and no press conference. What is important for me to underline is that our relationship with China is very good. We respect each other. We already have mutual understanding. I conveyed that in the U.S. with Austin. We are close friends with China. We respect America, and we seek friendship with Russia." True to form, Indonesia is basically playing both sides, trying to be friends with everybody and not get into a World War III annihilation game. In this emerging new multipolar age where U.S. Western imperialism and hegemony are being soundly and boldly rejected by the world nation majority, prime example, Africa, with the U.S. West in freefall decline now, the U.S. is desperately trying to finagle any non-Western nation to side with it against Russia and China. But the global South nations are no longer falling for it. Nor any more U.S. dirty trick subversion and belligerent coercion that it's gotten away with for the last century. In fact, the powers that shouldn't be have only retained their power for millennia through divide and rule, pitting people, nations, religions, regions, and ideologues against each other. This strategy is no longer working anymore as the world is finally wising up to the manipulative deceit and brute force of the West and the United States. As a consequence, the bloodline controllers are unable to utilize the United States as its world bully battering ram and blunt force instrument. Having installed a brain-dead imposter pretending to be U.S. president, who no other country other than vassals in Europe respect, submit to, or fear anymore. New news development. As the walls come crashing down on the corrupt Volodymyr Zelensky regime in Ukraine, the latest shakeup in his firing his defense minister, Alexei Reznikov. Last Monday, September 4th, the Kiev boss axed his defense minister, explaining the need for a, quote, new approach to the now 19th month in his lost cause war against Russia. Quote, this is Zelensky. This week, Parliament will be asked to make a personnel decision. I have decided to replace the Minister of Defense of Ukraine. Alexei Reznikov has gone through more than 550 days of full-scale war. I believe the ministry now needs new approaches and other formats of interaction with both the military and society as a whole. Unquote. Nominating his new defense minister, Rustam Umerov, Vlad the Clod further explained, quote, the Verkhovna Rada, that's the Ukraine legislature, of Ukraine knows this person well, and Mr. Umerov does not need any additional introductions. I expect Parliament to support this candidate. Unquote. Speculation over Reznikov's inevitable termination has been ongoing over the last year due to the infested corruption in defense contract kickbacks, especially over inflated food supply purchases for the defense forces, raising the prices from the regular retail outlets to 2 to 3 times the amount so they can get their kickback money to feed the troops. Reznikov has even alluded to reluctance to continue as defense minister in the past. The lawyer turned deputy minister prior to leading the Kiev military admitted that upon learning Zelensky chose him as his defense minister, his wife cried. Another take on why Reznikov was axed at this time comes from former Verkhovna Rada deputy Vladimir Olenik, who told RT, quote, everything that happens in Ukraine is subject to the internal agenda in the U.S., where a corruption scandal is breaking out around the Biden family. Americans want to shift the focus and demonstrate that they will now punish those who engage in corruption in Ukraine, unquote. Another angle to everything happening in Ukraine, more firing in the Kiev secret services, is the failed Ukraine counteroffensive with time now running out. Desperation has set in where the blame game in both Washington and Kiev spreads far and wide. There's also an ongoing purge now amongst the Ukraine generals, as well as the oligarchs, with the recent arrest on $13.5 million embezzlement charges of Igor Kolomoisky, who elevated Zelensky from actor to acting puppet president. Soon enough, Zelensky will also be gone, and probably Ukraine as a nation as well. Meanwhile, despite Rustam Umerov's involvement in a sex scandal, the actor chosen to play Ukraine President Zelensky, who's known to play piano with his penis and dresses up like a showgirl in videos, is completely behind his brand new defense ban. Umerov left the Kiev parliament last year to head the state property fund, whereupon he is now rumored to potentially face criminal charges for corruption himself. In Ukraine, it goes with the turf. And apropos that the day Umerov was selected to his new high and mighty post as defense minister, the job he's leaving at Ukraine's state property fund is now under criminal investigation by law enforcement in Ukraine. As if that's not shady enough, an old video just emerged where a dude looking an awful lot like Umerov is busily pleasuring himself with sex toys. So Umerov's appointment to head what's left of Kiev's waning war effort won't stop either Ukraine's deep-rooted scandalous corruption, that is this nation's infamous trademark, nor its inevitable defeat on the battlefield. They come and go, all these corrupt low-life losers in politics in Kiev and Washington and across the globe. All these losers are mere puppets whose decisions are made by puppets in Washington, whose decisions in turn are made by their bloodline puppet masters in this typical tyrannical pecking order power of pure evil doing. Analysts suspect the bottom line to Zelensky's selection of Umerov has more to do with him being a Crimean Tatar and Zelensky's presidential ambition facing re-election, hinging on his fat chance in hell fantasy of reconquering the Crimea Peninsula. With the European Union's ban on buying Ukraine grain lasting until September 15th, Zelensky issued an ultimatum on Wednesday, September 6th, threatening to take the matter to an international arbitration court should the ban not be lifted to sell its grain exports to EU nations. Well, there's the music, so stay tuned for a commercial-free break, and we will be back after the message.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
You're going back in?
There's still men out there. I go home. People ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, number one listener supported radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on public means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one, as we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in. And I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the unequivocal truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome to hour number two of Cabal Empire Exposed with your host, Joaquim Hagopian. Okay, well, I was talking about a ban on the grains from Ukraine being sold to the European Union nations, and it ends on September 15th, and basically Zelensky is saying, okay, I'm going to take you to court if you don't really, you know, stop the ban so I could sell my grains. That's how he operates. Okay, I will continue. Farmers in EU's Eastern European member bloc strenuously objected to their own grain sales being undercut by the EU deal, as Poland, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, and Slovakia are all pushing to extend the ban, while France and Germany are most opposed to extending the ban. Meanwhile, on Tuesday, September 5th, at the Kiev Security Forum, Ukraine's National Security and Defense Council Chief, Alexei Danilov, following suit with his boss's flair for drama queen theatrics, issued the following statement. Quote, "If somebody thinks that World War III hasn't started, then it's a huge mistake. It has already begun. It had been underway in a hybrid period for some time and has now entered an active phase. If somebody thinks that it, the conflict in Ukraine, is about settling the scores between Kiev and Moscow, then it's a mistake. Things are much more complicated." Unquote. desperate to draw U.S. NATO into the war before it is all lost, this Ukraine puppet sitting next to an asshole I went to school with at West Point, David Petraeus, both claiming they're going to, quote, going to strengthen the alliance, the NATO alliance, blowhard ass-kissing bureaucrat politician general and ex-CIA director Petraeus, till exposed for his adulterous affair, talks out of his ass every time he opens it up. His latest lies in Kiev, quote, the Russians are not particularly impressive in terms of knowledge and performance on the battlefield, but they have created a rather outstanding defense system, and it is quite difficult to punch it through, unquote. While asshole sits there in Kiev boasting of Ukraine's combined arms advantage and how its superiority, minus any air or missile defense, will win this war, this moronic loser of two U.S. wars in Afghanistan and Iraq is still living in the past, with outmoded World War II strategy at that. While today, Russia has adapted to modern warfare using far superior intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, the ISR trio of winning wars now. Yet this dumb shit Petraeus is generously paid to ignorantly spew out lie after propaganda lie, claiming that Russian forces are inferior to the U.S. NATO-trained Ukraine losers. Pathetic. I exposed this fraudulent war criminal's crimes in a number of global research articles I wrote a few years back, as well as in my own West Point story, Don't Let the Bastards Get You Down. That's also online for free. Look there for more on this asshole, David Petraeus. Next news item. For clearer perspective on what puppet brain dead's top priority is, you guessed it, continuing the inhumane war-making bloodbath in Ukraine, where, according to the fired Kiev defense minister, $100 million a day is being spent on the war while a mass murdering inside job in Maui, destroying thousands of Americans' lives, only warrants $700 per family and a grand total of $95 million for the island of Maui. Not even as much as what is spent on one day in Ukraine. So multiply that Ukraine $100 million being spent each and every day by 561 number of days the war has been going on, and you end up with $5.61 trillion already tragically spent and wasted on the world's most corrupt country. From another numerical angle, as the biggest spender on Ukraine, so far, Braindead has committed $113 billion at taxpayer expense on Ukraine, which computes to $223 million a day, according to Center for Strategic and International Studies think tank. All this waste when billions around the globe are finding it harder and harder to feed their families and pay for a roof over their head. But even worse, look at where all that money's been going, destroying millions upon millions of lives in Ukraine that's been Europe's notorious capital hub for child sex trafficking and their harvested organs, while Ukraine has zero to do with defending America's own national security, and everything to do with the elite's fixation over Putin's regime change conquest in order to rape and pillage his Russian homeland as the world's most natural resource-rich nation on Earth. Try wrapping your head around this unthinkable amount of wasted trillions spent on pure evil being committed in this monumental satanic human sacrifice, and just maybe you might fathom a glimpse into the hell that all this is, and the hell all the Maui victims are experiencing that await us all if we don't first destroy these destroyers behind all this horror prior to them destroying the entire human species. because this is what we are up against, folks. Okay, next item. From the "Do as I say, not as I do" file comes Belgian Energy Minister Tim van der Straeten, pressuring the EU by 2027 to curb itself off buying all Russian oil and gas. All the while, Belgium is among the top importers of Russian liquid natural gas. In a Wednesday, September 6 Financial Times interview, this bitch complains she is, quote, not happy that so much Russian gas is still streaming into the EU through Belgium. And yet, as the energy czar of her country, Belgium, she's hogging more Russian gas than just about any nation in Europe. These kinds of hypocritical bureaucrats need to be gone like yesterday. And there are zillions of these parasitic deep state leeches feeding as bottom dwellers in the cesspool of politics. They're the same as the psychopathic elite masters who banish common folk to eating insects, prohibited from all travel, living in digitalized enslavement world, and currently being targeted in the genocidal crosshairs for the Earth's human purge, while the subhuman elites own and control everything at our literal expense. No thanks. This is not the world I wish to have. Meanwhile, Austria's leader, Chancellor Karl Nehammer, is more honest, saying on public broadcasting on Monday, September 4th, that Austria is not able to do without Russian gas, at least in the short term. Admitting this race to ban fossil fuels is suicide. And it's all by design because, let's face it, the bloodline controllers want it that way. So the puppets of Europe and America are gung-ho enforcing it. All those sanctions to Russia, oops, suddenly Russia's the top oil exporter of the world and doing real well. The ruble's really good. While America burns, and all of basic Europe, Australia, New Zealand, the West. The West is the end. Destruction of the West. Western civilization, kaput. This is all by design, because the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, et al. Want it that way. They've allowed the Eastern powers to emerge in a multipolar world. I am not convinced that they aren't still in sync, as basically the supporters, financiers of Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin. I'm not convinced. It remains to be seen. Okay, next item. Globalists and their puppet minions in North America and Europe are always looking for ways to divide and rule, creating conflict, disharmony, and polarized opposition all the time. In the face of Russia's defeat of the West in its proxy war in Ukraine and the rapidly expanding growth of the BRICS Economic Alliance led by Russia and China, France's EU minister, Laurent Boon, insists that Putin is determined to weaken the EU by courting favor in the 9 non-EU nations in Europe as potential European Union candidates. According to a Thursday, September 7th Breitbart article, EU Representative Boon stated, quote, "By giving candidate nations a clear position, the Union could use the expansion process to support neighbors rather than invite Putin to undermine them." Okay, woman. Just like the Ukraine is losing, so are all the globalist entities in the West in today's emerging Eastern-led multipolar world. So Brussels institutions like the European Union and NATO stand to lose the most and perhaps even be abolished in the end as Western civilization fades into the sunset. As I've said many times, the City of London, Rothschild-controlled Khazarian Mafia is going down with its sinking Ukraine ship. That's why the West puppet leaders, following their master's dictates, have pushed suicidal policies that will, in the end, be their ruin. Politicians, all just useful idiot tools being manipulated and controlled by their bloodline controllers and then thrown asunder when all used up. That will come when everything crashes and all these political, bureaucratic, globalist puppets like Ms. Boone will be no more. The problem is, with the coming economic hardship and world war, we may no more be no more as well. Next news item. As the Biden regime attempts to bring in the next COVID variants and more mask mandates, lockdowns, and required death jabs for everyone this time, a positive sign has some of the GOP Congress members already actively opposing this bullshit. They know that the public will not be willing to submit so gullibly, at least this time, to the more of the same old abuse resulting in today's kill shot holocaust. So, a few politicians are saying no and implementing legislation guaranteeing, quote, ineffective, unscientific mask mandates, quote, don't return in any way, shape, or form, unquote. Let's see if this rational approach gains any traction. For instance, Ohio Republican Senator J.D. Vance introduced the, quote, Freedom to Breathe Act, which aims to prohibit federal mask mandates, especially in public schools, airplanes, and public transport, effective until the end of 2024. Based on the highly corrupt, entrenched uniparty duopoly system, I personally have my doubts that enough of these political puppets will have the decency, honesty, and backbone to follow through bucking the establishment deep state crime cabal control. But at least there are stirrings of some resistance within the GOP ranks, which at least is encouraging, though again, I will not be holding my breath. Next news item. A legal case in Finland illustrates how the oppressive authoritarian police state is expanding worldwide, using so-called, quote, hate speech to silence, lock up, and likely eliminate those left in this insane upside-down world brave enough to speak the truth, or how exercising free speech rights has now become, quote, hate speech. The Federalist posted a September 1st article that opens with the following, quote, in an appeal day, Helsinki's top prosecutor said publicly quoting the Bible and publishing a booklet about Christian sexual ethics violates Finland's, quote, hate speech law. The appeal escalates this U.S. allies' prosecution of dissidents from leftist politics, a marker of repressive regimes. The prosecutor has charged Member of Parliament Pave Razanen and Bishop Johanna Pojola for writing and publishing, respectively, a booklet supporting natural marriage. So things like the traditional family unit, Christianity, natural God law marriage, all of these things, that's against the law now. It's all totally reversed. Totally reversed. Another bogusly unjust case in the news just now. Biden has weaponized his Department of Justice to go after anyone who disagrees or opposes them, the criminal hallmark of all fascist dictatorships. From, quote, hate crimes to now speech crimes, the DOJ is seeking a sentence of 120 days in jail against InfoWars host Owen Schroyer because on January 6, 2021, in front of the Capitol building, he dared to speak out against the too obvious stolen 2020 election. Again, he expressed his opinion based on reasonably known factual evidence at the time, and for exercising his First Amendment right to freedom of speech The treasonous weasels sworn to uphold and defend our Constitution are demanding he be spending 4 months in jail. Again, Satan's in full control of Washington, D.C., and has been from its earliest Masonic architectural design. But never before in all of U.S. history has it been more blatantly criminal and evil in its operation. We are being deemed criminals for simply telling the truth. Seems that in more places spreading on this planet every single day, it's now become a criminal act to simply be an honest, moral, brave enough person to speak our mind or express our written thoughts. Outlawing dissent towards the, quote, official lamestream narrative means that under this ever-wide hanging rope of totally subjective, quote, speech crime or, quote, hate speech, branding, anyone can be prosecuted in the globalist New World Order police state operating today. Look at all the Donald Trump charges against him in total violation of his First Amendment rights. If they can go after the president and get away with harassing him till the cows come home, oops, I forgot, they too have been slaughtered in the interest of climate change since Bill Gates and China have tandemly buying up all of America's farmland. None of us are safe in this international crime cabal from overreaching globalist state tyranny. Human rights, constitutional rights, and human decency are no longer honored, protected, or upheld in a court of law. Not in America, nor many places in this world. The United States has regressed and degenerated into a lawless, violent jungle of mentally ill fanatics on the loose, arbitrarily abusing their illegal authority to destroy innocent people's lives deemed a threat. I never thought such an utter and sheer authoritarian state of satanic madness would so completely take over our society and so wantonly and viciously attack and destroy the sanctity of life according to God's natural law. I truly am baffled by what I'm seeing, seemingly growing more pathologically destructive each passing week. The so-called rule of law and societal norm now is to be a deranged, mind-controlled, militant, hate-filled freakoid. The crazies have completely taken over the asylum that is our modern-day life in today's very sick and decadently woke Western world. Those of us who are still sane, rational, compassionate human beings, who still believe in God, who practice our faith, believe in family, believe in basic human rights, freedom, and the God-given right to pursue happiness, who try to adhere to an ethical foundation of moral and spiritual principles that help guide our lives and behavior, we now find ourselves increasingly criminalized outcasts in a world gone mad. The America we once thought we knew is completely dead and gone, replaced by a surreal world in chaos, total lawlessness, and moral decay, barraged by nonstop mass media mind control and planned stage-controlled world events presented in centralized living color false narrative lies. Dark powers that should never be have locked us into an unsafe, booby-trapped Blade Runner prison grid full of AI, robotic cyborg types amidst Orwellian dystopian tyranny turned zombie apocalypse, science fiction turned reality, all wrapped up into one twisted, inescapable nightmare. This is the madness now on the loose, ever plain to see in this fake, mechanized, alienated society of nonstop brainwashing lies we're virtually forced to live in. This dark world rapidly unfolding before our eyes has a plan for those of us flawed yet still fully intact humans who vehemently oppose and reject this myopic, feudalistic, digitalized smart city enslavement. We're now being targeted for extermination. If you don't believe me, talk to the Lahaina firestorm survivors, or the ones that are dead, thousands. Next news item. The good news is all this horror show is being brought to you by frantic controllers of the old world order dying machine in its final death throes. That's why it's so blindly, ragefully, irrationally, and frantically lashing out, desperately trying to maintain its waning power and control. It's easy to fall victim to all this doom and gloom in the form of seeing all their weapons of mass destruction attacking us all at once. The all-important question I ask myself all the time is it going to play out as same as the old boss, with the death of the old globalist-sponsored U.S. control hegemony put out to pasture? Will the emerging multipolar world led by Russia, China, India, Iran, and Global South still secretly be run by the same Rothschild, City of London, Khazaria, and Mafia crew? That is the big question. That huge question remains to be seen. I vacillate back and forth on it nearly every day. We will soon know, though, as shit continues hitting the fan. Every day, it seems more bad news for puppets in the U.S. West in their habitual attempt to still punish those nations unwilling to obey and comply with their rules-based order, founded in America's exceptionalism mantra, do as I say, not as I do. This week's case in point, oil giants Saudi Arabia and Russia agreed to lower their oil production to 1.3 million barrels a day, extended through December, which has already driven oil prices on Tuesday, September 5th, up to $90 a barrel, totally humiliating the West, U.S., EU, after last year's attempt in vain to impose an oil price cap, as yet another failed economic sanction against Russia. Meanwhile, ever since the Saudis are cozying up to Putin, joining the BRICS alliance and no longer obliging to U.S. pressure, threats, and demands, defiantly delivering only more humiliation at the Biden regime. But unfortunately for the rest of us, it means higher gas prices and record inflation spiking up an unaffordable cost of living for many throughout the entire West, now plunging into freefall oblivion. Biden's feeble warning last year to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, threatening, quote, unspecified consequences, unquote, for colluding with Russia as one more bad joke played on overstretched Western consumers at today's gas pump. Next item. Yet another setback for U.S. hegemony is the latest in China. U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo insists she didn't pull any punches regarding her end of August trip to Beijing, as yet another Biden cabinet member, recently Yellen and Blinken before her, attempting to set things right and patch up the mounting tensions with U.S. and China Incorporated. That's U.S. Incorporated, as China is the biggest creditor, the People's Republic of China, ostensibly to negotiate fair trade deals with its designated number one adversary, but always on China's turf, holding a weaker paper tiger hand. Chinese hackers even rubbed it in further, penetrating Raimondo's personal emails just days ahead of her trip. So she came home talking extra tough, just like Yellen pretended after bowing to her Chinese counterpart. The fact is that the U.S. relies on China for its semiconductor microchip industry a lot more than the other way around. Timed with the U.S. Commerce Secretary's visit to China, the heavily sanctioned Chinese company Huawei triumphantly released its new cell phone that defies yet more U.S. weaponized sanctions that impose tech limits on Huawei's capacity to produce its own semiconductor chip. So, China also overcame U.S. sanctions with its breakthrough in microchip manufacturing technology, as Washington's attempt to punish China totally backfired. Sanctions to bully its enemies into submission that may have worked in the past on smaller countries are no longer working today on Russia or China. Now, having repeatedly failed, making Russia and China stronger and U.S. far weaker. And with the whole world watching this humiliating fiasco and loving every minute seeing the U.S. fail like never before, it reinforces the veracity of karmic law. What goes around, comes around. And for more karmic payback in China, on Wednesday, September 6th, the Wall Street Journal reported that China banned all its government workers from using Apple iPhones. In direct retaliation against the U.S. going out of its way to try and destroy Huawei, now, with the upper hand, China is determined to make America pay, seriously denting Apple's overseas profits. Next item. And still another sign the West is capitulating, having to adjust to the changing multipolar power shift, is the accession of the 55-nation African Union as a full-fledged G20 member on equal parity status with the EU at this weekend's summit in India. With the eighth largest GDP and the Global South's ascension to increasing power and status as a resource-rich continent, the G20 is forced to make concessions with Russia and China's global rise in the BRICS alliance and the imminent threat of the U.S. dollar, no longer the reigning international trade currency. The relationship, the historically wealthiest Western G20 bloc, is forced to finally accommodate the, quote, new kid on the block, Africa. And with more coups overthrowing hand-picked Uncle Tom's subservient African leaders that historically allowed their nation's wealth to be plundered by the neocolonialist West, those days are now, thankfully, finally over also. The G20, led by India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi and Russia, absent from the G20 summit, are leading the way through the BRICS alliance and permanent seats in the UN Security Council to expand membership status to developing nations in a far more equitable and fair representation in all regional and global organizations. We just have to watch out for their globalist organizations like the European Union, the United Nations, the World Health Organization, and on and on and on. United States Incorporated. Next item. Perhaps the biggest assault on U.S. hegemony is de-dollarization taking place around the world as I speak. More than ever before, since the Bretton Woods Conference way back in 1944 crowned the U.S. dollar the king international reserve currency, not even backed up any longer by gold. That game changer was then, but this is now. No longer a favored U.S. unipolar world. Just like Africa has a seat at the G20 table now, another up-and-coming regional bloc organization gaining momentum is led by Indonesia and eight other Southeast Asian countries, with Jakarta hosting the ASEAN summit on Wednesday and Thursday this week, the 43rd summit, closed yesterday, September 7th, with Indonesia handing over chairmanship to Laos. The big news out of this week's Jakarta powwow is that Thursday, September 7th, Indonesia introduced a de-dollarization task force to help promote its own currency in rupiah for bilateral transactions in order to reduce the risk of relying on trade in greenbacks only. Diversification is well underway now on an international scale with the rise of local currency transactions. The world, especially the Global South nations, watched how the U.S. West politically weaponizes its U.S. dollar stranglehold using coercion and submission during the last year, issuing a litany of economic sanctions against the global power Russia. The rest of the world took notice that no country is safe from the U.S. whimsical wrath. In addition to Russia, they've watched country after country, Iran, China, Venezuela, Cuba, North Korea, and on, the U.S. kingpin bully for far too long routinely uses its unchallenged hegemony to punitively hurt any and all less powerful countries that refuse to submit to, in actuality, the globalist self-serving oligarchic agenda that's been using the U.S. over this last century as its battering ram. Next item. In exactly the same way the globalists misuse their puppets in Washington, D.C., they also have globalist entities like the United Nations, the World Health Organization, NATO, and the European Union doing the very same dirty bidding. With Russia and China leading the way, third world continents like Africa and Asia are now beginning to exercise their sovereign rights in this emerging multipolar world, and now are free to openly confront and oppose these globalist monolithic minions that have abused their power. Individual nations within the West are also increasingly challenging the centralist powers that have overstayed their days of dominance as well. One such example is the Eastern European nation of Hungary as a member of the European Union. Its leader, President Viktor Orban, has been increasingly an outspoken critic of EU policy, particularly toward the Ukraine conflict and its oppositional stance against Russia with all its suicidal sanctions destroying Europe. On Wednesday, September 6, Hungary's National Assembly Speaker, Laszlo Kovar, sounded off against the EU using these same bullying tactics against Hungary as Washington, D.C. has habitually done, against any nation. Quote, this is the leader of the National Assembly Parliament in Hungary speaking. Europe is almost paralyzed by the fact that the institutional system originally created to ensure cooperation has turned against its masters, the member states, as a kind of golem. Today, the member states cannot control this cancerous bureaucracy. We have to ask ourselves whether the European Union is still an association of independent and equal member states, or whether we are just one step away from becoming victims of another imperial expansion. The EU wants to create an economic governance that dissolves the sovereignty of the member states. They want to interfere in the political process by withholding resources, and they would even expect us to be ashamed of it. It is a hybrid war, to use this fashionable term, that the globalists in Brussels are waging against Hungary and Poland, which are defending their sovereignty. Unquote. So we're beginning to see a lot of little cracks in the unified NATO and European Union in Brussels. No, not all Europe's happy with this situation as they all become deindustrialized countries that are basically going into a major economic depression, like the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. All right. The EU justifies withholding funds from Hungary, allegedly on the basis of not enough crackdown on corruption to meet judicial and media reforms demanded by the EU, and for violating EU's, quote, rule of law standards, again, just like the U.S. So they deny them money that's owed them. But the Hungarian leaders know this is all just made-up bullshit because Hungary has bravely taken a strong vocal stand criticizing EU's many failed policies. DC and Brussels are bloodline-controlled puppet monstrosities that go out of their way to punish dissenters in order to increase their power and control. After all, those are the identical tactics used by their puppet masters against the whole planet. That's what all this subversive subterfuge is really all about. Speaking of Hungary's bold leadership and Viktor Orban, the president, during an interview with Tucker Carlson released Wednesday, September 6th, Viktor boldly asserted, quote, "There's another pipeline bringing gas from Russia through the southern corridor to Turkey, Bulgaria, Serbia, and Hungary. Together with the Serbian president, Aleksandar Vučić, we made it very clear that if anybody would like to do the same thing with the southern corridor as it was done with the northern one, we'll consider it as a reason for war. Probably you can do this with the Germans, but you can't do this with this region." Unquote. Orban is calling out his counterpart in Germany, Chancellor Olaf Scholz, as a wimpy vassal of America for remaining to this very day completely silent over the U.S.'s act of war and act of terror committed against Berlin government, a.k.a. Victoria Nuland, brain-dead Biden, and the globalists blowing up Germany's main energy source, the Nord Stream pipelines, last year. Weakling Scholz allows this criminal betrayal by its supposed very close ally, America, knowing it is causing Germany's current deindustrialization, leading to its very demolition as a once vibrant economic power of Europe. Speaking of demolition, after an alleged black eye from a jogging accident, ha ha ha, Scholz donned a pirate's eye patch as if suddenly it makes him some kind of tough guy. This fake pirate's acting performance is on full display this week when on Wednesday, according to Bloomberg News, quote, "Olaf Scholz unleashed a blistering attack on the far-right Alternative for Germany political party, calling the anti-immigrant party a, quote, demolition squad and a threat to Europe's biggest economy. Using uncharacteristically aggressive language, the German leader on Wednesday denounced the AfD's demands for a, quote, dismantling of the European Union and the welfare state and said the policies represent, quote, nothing but wanton destruction of prosperity." Yeah, blame it on that party that's fast gaining momentum, because you're going to be out on your ass any day, you wimp. As the boot-licking lackey Scholz is, the wimp goes on the attack, defending City of London's brainchild, the European Union, and, of course, the Bloodline's clergy plan to destroy Europe's national and cultural identity by flooding the continent with immigrants from Middle Eastern war zones in Africa, and by orchestrating, by design, deliberately creating the largest migration crisis since World War II. That is what today's real controlled demolition is all about. Eradicating ethnic and racial identity of the Caucasian race. The globalists' intent on destroying North America, of course, is deploying the exact same weaponized migration overload to destroy America with brain-dead's open border policy, all behind the cover of multiculturalism and inclusion. The fastest-growing populist parties like Germany's AfD, opposing the globalist puppets like Scholz, are tagged as racists and bigots in the same way that critics of Israel, Zionists, and Jews are branded anti-Semites. The bloodline controllers invent these deceitfully weaponized smear campaigns in order to justify their ready-made solution to their created crisis. be it overpopulation, carbon dioxide gas emissions, climate change, green energy, all used as deceptive propaganda covers to enforce depopulation agenda policies. With nonstop propaganda, their politically weaponized tactics to a large extent are working in their favor. Tragically for the human race, it's a highly effective brainwashing scam allowing elites to push anti-human genocidal policies, all in the name of these fabricated, fake, benign-sounding causes. Of course, the bloodline's modus operandi is creating this endless cycle of, quote, problem-reaction-solution to move toward total lockdown enslavement of a drastically downsized global population of only a half billion people from the 8 billion alive today. Again, 15 out of 16 humans alive today are in the genocidal crosshairs. Deagle.com predicted that in 2025, the population living in America will be only 65 million, down from today's near 330 million. That's 4 out of 5 USA residents no longer in America by 2025, little more than a year away now. Genocide by the satanic elites is the biggest and most horrendous news story of all the ages. That's why I write about it and on this radio show every week, because it is the biggest story of all ages. It means survival of the human species or extinction of the human species. It's going to be one or the other. But if we don't fight the murderers, we're all going to become extinct. That's the reality. Genocide by the satanic elites is the biggest and most horrendous news story of all the ages, I repeat. Satan may at times appear to be winning, but if enough of us resist and oppose and not comply, in the end, we know that God always defeats Satan. But we got to do something. We can't just rely on God alone. We got to do something. So between the good, God-loving people trying to survive and God's intervention, we will prevail. Okay, next item. As we approach end of summer with the autumnal equinox less than 2 weeks away now, the globalist reign over mainstream media is constantly working overtime, pushing its climate change agenda with the last Saturday, September 2nd, Guardian article, headline, and opening statement, couched in softer, quote, climate effects terminology, quote. The summer food went, this is the title of the article. The summer food went weird. Searing heat reshapes U.S. food production. And here's the opening sentence. From wilting wheat to stressed pollinators, U.S. farmers and fishermen see unexpected climate effects. This week, farmers across the Midwest are preparing for temperatures to reach 115 degrees, 46 degrees centigrade as a heat dome covers the region. After a tricky growing season, that seaweed between drought and unseasonably heavy rains, many Midwestern farmers worry the extreme heat will scorch or at least stunt their already struggling crops, unquote. Meanwhile, on the same day, September 2nd, of the Guardian Post, Dane Wigington of geoengineering.org weekly uncovers the elephant in the room's weather modification, weather manipulation, and weather warfare as the actual culprit behind all of last week's alarming climate news. He does it on a weekly radio program. Geoengineering.org, Dane Wigington, a very brave, good man trying to do his best to wake the world up about what they're doing to heavy metals raining down on us daily. There are cities all around the globe now where There are no longer blue skies in many cities internationally. Many. They no longer have blue skies. It's all smog gray covering up the sun. Well, it's been helped by geoengineering heavy poison toxic metals on us that we breathe. It goes into our soil, the water supply. They're poisoning us. And these heavy metals are electrical conductors when they do 5G and when they do kill shots. Yep, we're all wired, hardwired basically now, those of us that, well, we can't get away with it. We have to breathe. So, yeah, we're getting it. We're getting it. Anyway, here's what Dane Wigington says last Saturday. The climate, fires, floods, heat, and hail. While Florida is flooding, Canada is incinerating over 62,000 square acres burned thus far this summer. Super typhoon Saula has made landfall in Hong Kong while firestorms rage in Greece. Labor Day record heat will extend the baking of the central and southern United States. Aquifers are running dry, posing a major threat to drinking water supply. Weather and temperature whiplash hits the west as moisture is allowed into the region. Cloud seeding with endothermic reacting elements will enhance the temporary toxic surface cool down. Norway is stockpiling grains to prepare for coming shortages. North Korea is attempting to keep their electric grids functioning with solar power, even as climate engineering operations blot out the sun. Global chaos is accelerating in lockstep with unfolding biosphere collapse. How long till impact? That's Dane Wigington. I recommend his radio program and his website, geoengineering.com. Okay, in the last, probably 5 or 6 minutes, I'm going to read, I probably might not get to all of it, but I love the journalist Yoichi Shimatsu, and he does articles that are exclusive to rense.com, R-E-N-S-E.com. And he wrote one on Thursday, September 7th, yesterday, called Death of Epstein Powell, Ex-New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson Leaves a Black Hole of Elitist Crime of Geronimo Pancho Villa and Blackest Corruption of Blackest Corruption. That's the end. And it's done by Yoichi Shimatsu. The late arriving news of the quiet passing of Epstein Clinton crony William Bill Blaine Richardson leaves a vacuum in a slew of crime mysteries, including the whereabouts of the current pedophile pimp Jeffrey Epstein, the future of Virgin Galactic boss Richard Branson, who's left a toxic trail over the White Sands spaceport, the shady mobster legacies of Bill and Hillary Clinton, and rumors of Barack Obama's dope-fueled plan to rig the coming presidential election for a third term, among other scandalous issues. Besides those hijinks, Richardson's last major coup, besides his reported death, was to fly to Russia to wheedle the prison release of Miss Brittany Griner, the NBA drag queen power forward without memory glands. Recognizing the great fun in Richardson's scams and aid to poison prison convicts, no less than Bill Clinton has called him, quote, the undersecretary of thugs, unquote. Until the last shovelful is dumped over the stairwell to hell, as in the case of Count Dracula, a coffin may not spell an end to a supposedly dead Richardson's wizardry. If he unexpectedly pops up again, shoot the zombie home invader in self-defense. Michelle Lujan Grisham, his worthy successor as a crime-allied governor of New Mexico, announced the state flag would be flown at half-mast over the coming week and morning. Better late than never. That exec order came several mysterious days after news of Richardson's death arrived from Massachusetts, which was the home state of his biological father. Which one? I don't know. Although many innovative schemes originated during his 8-year gubernatorial term, 2003-2011, at the Santa Fe State House. From financing New Mexico as Hollywood Studios' backlot in the Southwest Desert, to the taxpayer nemesis of green energy technology. Not all of his business partners are shedding tears, and some are whooping up the demise of that lying, cheating con artist. In fact, nobody is crying in this land of enchantment. Good riddance. Parachute politics, scream Geronimo. In a reversal of the Wild West legend, the intrusive colonialist Richardson scalped the exiled Apache natives of his state. Adding insult to injury for the legendary chief Geronimo's Chiricahua band, living in exile in Oklahoma, was falsely promised, drained of cash, and betrayed in a New Mexico casino deal by the then governor. The Chihuahua Desert region adjoining the southern border was and is the original homeland of Geronimo's tribe, which defended their barren but sovereign territory with forays into Mexico, which culminated in the mass murder of the Apache chief Victorio and his followers, who were known to the Mexicans as Los Gilenos, or Gila people. Born in Gila Mountains, a bit north of Silver City, New Mexico, Geronimo was not born into chiefdom like Cochise or Victorio, but was an eccentric mystic, more of a medicine man guided by divine inspiration with a ruthless edge. His tiny band's raids against Mexico to avenge the massacre of his wife and children were the stuff of ghost stories and frontier legends. His method of fighting went beyond bravery, verging into a seance-inspired dance as he ran zigzag crazily to dodge the Mexican army's bullets and then slashing throats and stabbing his foes with a knife, a horrifying spectacle that prompted Los Federales to flee in fright from the much-feared demon shaman. Meanwhile, the inevitably corrupt Mexican government opened up Chihuahua's copper-rich mountains to American investors and railway companies, which meant the U.S. Army had to quell the Apaches as part of the unspoken bilateral deal to enrich the politicians on both sides of the border. So what else is new when it comes to patriotism? Chased from the edge of Arizona to the dismal, waterless heart of the Chihuahua Desert, inhabited by javelina, wild peccary pigs, and their predators, the spotted ocelot cat, Geronimo's tiny band of 37 followers were the last Apaches to surrender to the United States military. They were detained in the bone-dry wasteland near Florida, a mountain before rail passage to the state of Florida for mass detention. The names of the state and mountain both mean, ironically, flowery, so try not to smell the roses. Despite their final transfer to an Oklahoma reservation shared with the Mescalero and Fort Still Apaches tribes, the descendants of Geronimo's fighters never gave up their determination to return to the New Mexican desert south of the Gila Range, where their confinement at Akela provided a legitimate federal and state case for a tangible homeland. At last, in a proposed casino deal with Governor Bill Richardson, their dream of an end to exile finally came true. Or so they assumed, wrongly. Oh, sad to say, time is up. Go read Joyce's Sebastian's article here on Bill Richardson's death. Hey, take care of each other and don't let the bastard get this down.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look! left as a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's hybrid thinking. Welcome to the Crip.